Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Appreciate that.
Brains, you are home. Hello. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And Sean White came to visit. I just wanted to have a real relaxed conversation with somebody who's got some common sense. There's a lot of people with common sense. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, for the most part, just, you know, to dull it down. We always talk in business. We always talk in spirituality. We always, you know, trying to change folks. We just want to have a conversation and invite y'all in the room. Would you agree, Sean?
Absolutely.
So I ran across a jewel, found this brother here, and started watching him and really fell in love with his moxie. He was smooth. You know, his purpose, his calling, how he interacts with people, and he's got a great following. I mean, folks, just when he do a Facebook Live, okay, you got to wait in line to get in the room. You don't find that very often. I mean, you know, those Facebook Lives are hard to market. They're really hard to push, to ask someone to, you know what, stop what you're doing and engage with me and my guest. That's an honor and that's a privilege. He's got a business. I was just checking you out today. You're about to become a hypnotherapist. I'm going to go to school for NLP, for neuro-linguistic programming.
Awesome.
I am. We're going to be a beast. So you was just saying a few minutes ago, we was in the green room talking, and we were saying something about business. We were talking about logoing and your branding and your message. What was you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, as far as in regards with that is something that's pretty awesome, because anytime that you're an entrepreneur, you want, as far as for your branding, your logo to stand out. You want to make it very unique. And in this industry, because I've been in this industry now for about 7 years, and what I know is you have a lot of marketers, it's more so they want to be copycats, so to speak. And with that, they just want to follow the trend, right? They just want to just follow behind other people. And which in the beginning, it's okay, because of the fact that you're trying to learn, you're trying to figure some things out, you're trying to find your purpose and who you are. But eventually, at some point, it's really more so saying, okay, well, that's fine. I done gained enough knowledge. So now, who am I?
Right.
And what do I bring to the table? What makes me very unique and stand out versus being like the thousands and a gazillion other, you know, network marketers and entrepreneurs? And that's why I believe a lot of people get stuck at. And I know it was like that for me in the beginning of my journey until I discovered that. And the rest is pretty much history. And it's just been a beautiful ride.
Yeah, when I stepped out on the scene, I knew I was unique. But I was determined to create my marketing, create my vibe, create my energy. So when people tapped into me and I poured into them, they knew that it was something organic.
Yes.
You know, that it wasn't going to be a carbon copy. However, you know, copying someone is the greatest form of flattery.
It is.
Because there is nothing unique under the sun, you know. Everybody, you hear all these books and philosophies and all that. It's just recycled information, just packaged, you know, in a different kind of way.
Yes.
And that's okay. But it's the delivery. And you're strong on your delivery. You know, I like that. Because you get people engaged. You have your own unique style of, you know, talking, introducing, educating, promoting, supporting. All of that is very important. And that's what I do too. I find, you know, the hidden jewels, or I find that, you know, rusty object and I clean it and polish it up, because number one, that's building your credibility, you know, as an influencer and an impactor, but it's also making another person feel good and making them shine. And I say all the time, I'm not a one-legged stool. I need support, you know, and you supported me, and I thank you very much for that. You know, you gave me a shout out, and you know, I got some business, you know, and so I appreciate that, and that's why I pay it forward. You know, I'm not one of those people. I'm not a crab in a barrel. I'm not going to try to keep you down, brother. I want you to soar and ascend as high as you can go, even so I can look up at you. I ain't got no problem with that.
May I say something on that?
Yes.
That was one of the things when I seen as far as your, when I went on your website and I seen as far as like with your flow and your delivery, and I seen as far as like your past interviews, as far as what you had your other guests, that was one of the things that really attracted me, because I'm like, wow, first of all, you was having real conversations with people. It wasn't so much more of a scripted in which that you say this, and then they'll say that, then you say this, and they say that. But no, it was more so real. I noticed how very comfortable people were, and they were allowed to be themselves. And that was like, ooh, this is interesting. So then I started looking more so as far as into your content and quality of work. And one of the first things I said is like, you know what? She got it together. Oh. She's real. She's honest. She gives people an opportunity as far as to really showcase their talents. And that's what, from what I noticed, that's what a lot of people crave. They love that, but they don't get the opportunity so much because of the fact they may feel that the person that's interviewing them would pretty much dominate the whole entire conversation.
Right.
And I guess that's the reason why, well, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that, not guess, but with that being said, that's the reason why when I do my Facebook Lives, when I do my interviews, mm-hmm. I have that same concept, mm-hmm. is that whoever I'm interviewing, I want for the audience to get to know them. Mm-hmm. I want for the audience to know their skill sets and what makes them very unique and what they have to bring to the table. And the engagement aspect, because I love people. I know.
Don't you find them interesting?
Oh, I can learn so much just by essentially listening and more so just engaging and just learning from them and asking certain questions to keeping the conversation going. Because one of the things in which I've learned as far as with us people, we love to talk. More so about ourselves.
But the key, the most effective communicator is the person that's a great listener.
Yes, because ma'am.
What you're able to do is you're able to color in the white space.
Correct.
So people are going to be jaw-jacking all day long about nonsense.
Right.
And to be a great interviewer, you have to be able to jump in. You have to be able to cut them off politely. You've got to be able to hear what they said. And you say, oh, wow, that might be a great segue. How do you bring that back in? Voice inflection. You know, I feel like Oprah sometimes. I got people crying on the show. I'm like, who does that?
That's a skill set. Yeah. That's a talent.
And I was like, you know, because they feel, they feel comfortable. And that's the thing, you know, when I'm having a conversation, I forget about the 72, 73, 74, no, really 76,000 people that are listening, you know, because it's an engaging conversation and it's all about you. It's not about me. I could sit and jaw jack all day long.
Right.
You know? But it's about you and bringing out the best. So now let me ask you some questions. Choice of words is very, very important. Your vocabulary.
Absolutely.
You know, I see some people that are on television, podcasts, radio, and the level of profanity, I just turn the channel. And the reason is I cuss, I swear, you know, the F word is my favorite. But there is a time and a place.
Correct.
It really dumbs down what you're saying. And people are thinking, oh, this person is so aggressive. They're so combative. Or they're so street. Or they're so, you know, I don't use the word ghetto because I'm a fan of the ghetto. you know, they just kind of put you and pigeonhole you. What do you feel about using a choice of words as a communicator?
It's something in which that Les Brown has said a long time ago that really resonated with me. And he stated that when you speak, you let the world know exactly who you are. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's so profound because, unfortunately, we do live in a society that based upon as far as on what you speak, people then go ahead and they prejudge you, especially on social media, right away. And I spoke about that because the power of language is something in which that I had to learn for myself, coming from the environment in which I came from, which was very violent and toxic. So, yeah, that the F-bombs and everything else, that was pretty much, you know, accepted, you know, especially around my family members. I had a mom that, oh, man, she used to cuss like a sailor. So, and so, you know, just being around that, it was acceptable. But once that I became, I would say, more emotionally mature, so to speak, and became an entrepreneur, I realized that the power of language is very, very important because there's about, in my opinion, probably about 20 or 30 different ways that you can say a particular thing. So if you're trying to convey your message, really think about as far as on what you want to say. I remember when my mom used to say, well, this is me. I speak my mind, right? And how it comes out and how it comes out. Okay. There's a lot of truth behind that. But also, too, again, if you want to convey a certain message, what I mostly speak about with the power of language, what I discovered is that there's a number of different ways that you can say something. So it's just all about really being conscientious of that. And that's just more so just learning about yourself, studying, and just learning as far as from others in which that you may admire, respect, and see how the way they conduct themselves. See as far as, okay, well, if they're saying this, they really want to say this, right? But they say it this way.
Do you notice how people, how they trip out when you say dang instead of damn?
Right.
They kind of shift themselves. They kind of take it down a notch. They have to adjust to that word. And my mother, wow, I can't believe I'm speaking about my mom in the past tense. You know, she just passed the other day.
My condolences.
Thank you. She called me and my friends tan it up. We had a little lick it up and we was in the backyard in the jacuzzi and we was going at it. And she called me into the room and she said, who do you have over here? And I told her who was, and she said, I thought you said you were having some ladies over here. And I said, I was. She said, them wasn't no ladies. Wow. She says, them was some hood rats. And I heard some choice words come out of your mouth too. And I taught you better. She said, when you use that kind of vocabulary, you go into battle. Because people don't take you seriously. Mm. If that's the way that you talk all the time, you don't have no power, no influence. But if you don't talk that way on a regular basis, and then all of a sudden you come out with the boom, bam, boom, they know it's going down.
Right.
You know, there are over 7 million words that are used. And people choose the top 20 most filthiest in songs, in movies, you know. You hear the word bitch everywhere all the time now. You know, it's nothing to that. And then what are we teaching our children?
Right.
No respect. You know, they won't pick up a book. Let's talk a little bit about neuro-linguistic programming since we're talking about that. The conversation that we have in our own brain.
Correct.
I'm very fascinated with that because I talk to myself all the time. I love to talk to me.
You should, and that you should.
Well, I can't wait to see what I'm going to come up with, what I'm going to say. I do brain dumps, you know, where I take a piece of paper and whatever's in my mind, and we're talking about changing the tire or what I'm cooking for dinner or the interview that I have, because that way I'm creating some capacity and some space for some other stuff to pour in.
Correct.
I'm able to edit and filter my conversation, you know, and make adjustments.
Correct.
I'm able to cry if I need to. I'm able to laugh.
Correct.
What do you say when you talk to yourself?
Depending as far as on the topic, because that's like a daily, it's almost like a daily battle, right? So
the struggle.
Right. So I'm gonna give you a perfect example, right? About a half an hour prior to coming on, the voice in my head was saying, now you're going to come on this lady show and you know you got to come correct. You know, okay, that you don't have as far as on what it takes. You know, as far as, you know, that she don't play that, and all types of very interesting thoughts. And I stated, well, first and foremost, thank you for that. I definitely do appreciate that, but you're wrong. One. Secondly, as far as for this is truly an honor and a blessing. So I'm going to be myself, number two. Three, this is something in which that by me doing can benefit and inspire, encourage, and motivate others. Three. And four, she has a great brand going on. So I don't know what you got going on, but I'm doing this. Again, as far as the other side of, you know, my brain, you can call it the enemy, evil forces, whatever you want to call it, is still trying to throw negative, and yet I'm coming back and I'm reinforcing positive.
That's right.
So with that, and you have to do that a lot. And see, a lot of people think that, well, you know, okay, well, I really can't control my thoughts. I can't control as far as what comes into my head. Okay. Because of the fact we have so many thoughts within a day, and I'm not going to get into the full science of that because we'll be here forever. But since that subconsciously, we have a lot of thoughts that's just going through our mind. Let's just go ahead and say that. However, what we can do is decide on what thoughts that we want to entertain. Right. Because what happens is that the thoughts in which that we entertain the most, because it comes from thought, then what's going to happen is going to come out of speech.
That's right.
So,
and it's going to be related in your actions. Because let me just stop you. Let me just stop you right there for one second.
Sure.
We are the thinker of our thoughts. We are the observers of our lives. Okay. We are the editors of our story. Bottom line.
Come
and
on,
women, let me tell you something. I've been married to Mr. Magnificent for 36 years.
All right.
And I can read him like a cheap novel. However,
I
go by his actions. Okay? Because he might be talking some crazy stuff to himself. You go by people's actions. And so I wanted to interject that because it's very important, you know, it's just, it's not about necessarily what you think, because those thoughts are going to pop into your head. You have to process negative as well as positive. You got to entertain questions.
Yep.
You've got to feel sad. You've got to pour the emotion in. You've got to get angry.
Yep.
That is, if not, you're dead. You're not living.
Exactly.
You know, you're just merely existing. You got to challenge yourself. Mm-hmm. But know where you are in that challenge. Know what page, book, and chapter you're reading.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. Talking about books and chapters and reading, you wrote a book. What did you write about? I wrote poetry. What you write?
Actually, I created two ebooks, in which is something which I'm super proud of myself, because that was something in which that I didn't believe was even possible. Because in fact, when I was young, I used to write for poetry, novels.
Oh, wow.
I mean, anything that I can think of, I would literally write. So as time went on, that was obviously suppressed. But the first ebook in which that I wrote, which is called A Line for Your Greatness. And essentially what that is, it talks about a gentleman by the name of Antoine. And it's just really telling you as far as on his struggles, his adversities, the different stages in which that he was in life, his thought process, how the way he was thinking. But also, too, towards the tail end, you see as far as a process of him really developing his mindset. The second book, which is called From Broke to Greatness, it talks about a young lady by the name of Kenya, in which that her upbringing was somewhat similar, but different. It was actually in a woman's viewpoint, in which it also talked about as far as more so when I say from broke to greatness, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about as far as with spirit. I'm talking about as far as with mindset and with way of thinking. And she felt because of how the way that she grew up so violently, that was the way of life. What happened was that she had divine intervention. She was in jail, not to give you guys everything, but at that point, she pretty much surrendered. She gave up. And because of the fact she had discovered a higher power, it talks about as far as with more so of the role of her experiencing her greatness and understanding her true call. But then there's a third book that's on the horizon. Just have to just wait and see.
No, I got a book coming up too.
Ooh, talk about it.
It's called 365 Days. And what I am going to share with you, well, I've got two books actually. And then the other one is called Big $25 Words. 365 days is what I learn every single day. Every single day, and how it applies to my life, because you learn something every single day. I calculated how long my mama lived in hours and days and months. It was amazing, 91 years. So could you imagine what she just learned? The other one is Big $25 Words, because people toss out these words like entrepreneur and coach and mindset, neuro-linguistic programming, and transformation.
Hypnotherapy.
What does that really, really mean? Because sometimes it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. You know, what you gonna transform me into, a frog? I was a 25-year-old woman from Asia going to support and transform a 59-year-old African-American from South Central LA. Really, what you gonna do? You know, but I can't say that that can't happen. You don't know what people's gifts are. Coach, how you going to coach and you still a trainee? You sitting on the bench. You know, a lot of times there's coaches out there that are disgruntled employees that figure that they are the subject matter expert. And now I'm going to go teach somebody for $3,000 and mess around and be a mess.
Doesn't work like that.
$25 word entrepreneur. You know, they want to be big Willie. They want to be an entrepreneur. Do you know, Brains, that that is the toughest cotton picking job you can have?
There is.
You got to establish a business, build a business, get somebody to buy into that business, pay that business, be responsible for that business, pay taxes on that business, and start that process all over again every day. Oh, I don't want to answer to a boss. Newsflash, your client is your boss.
Boss, correct.
Okay. I don't want to, I want free time. I don't have no free time. Okay. I just lost my mother and the show must go on because I've got people counting on me and my pain should be transparent to them. That's what entrepreneurs do. And right. Then you build the business to move it to something else, something greater. You got to have multiple revenue streams.
Sure do.
You know, so it ain't for chumps. Go ahead.
Yeah, plus also too, and I see that as well. I mean, it's all over social media, especially on Facebook. And I sit there and I'm like, okay, I'm not prejudging anyone. But one of the things in which I've learned is that when I decided to make a decision to become a coach, one of my mentors told me, okay, Sean, if this is something which that you have to do, you have to keep in mind that if you're working with a client and you are leading them or guiding them as far as to overcome or to eliminate certain habits, you know, patterns, behaviors, etc., then you have to do the work first.
That's right.
You have to see the results first. That's right. Because what's going to happen is that you're saying one thing, but you're not doing it yourself. You haven't been there. So how can you translate that over to a client? How can you expect someone to pay you $2,000 or $3,000 in terms of, let's just say, for instance, past life regression and working on things from their past,
right.
If you haven't done so as well. Mm-hmm. So you're not congruent, and the client is going to see that. They're going to feel that, and they're going to say, oh.
Yeah, you are so disingenuous. I don't know, you know, I want my money back. Or, you know, you've done, or you know what, you can really mess somebody's head up.
Yes, you can.
You can mess somebody's head up. And when I have a coach, I want to see that coach out. I want to outgrow that coach.
Absolutely.
I want to go to the next level. I don't want you just, you know, I'm still nursing with you. I need to get my binky and move on.
That's right.
Because again, it's like, you know, sometimes people I know that have been in therapy, I'm not busting on nobody in therapy, but I'm saying if you've been living a situation for 20 years and you've been talking to a therapist for 12, now you done lived it for 32. Where's the breakthrough?
Sure.
All right. Mm. Let's talk about, you know, mindset.
Okay.
Sure. Setting somebody's mind is not a combination to a safe, Brains. Okay. you have to be able to be mature enough to allow them to be who they are. Now, see, I only coach 5 people a year, and I only coach them for 5 hours. I ain't into long term. That's Mr. Magnificent's time, and I'm going to give him all his time. And you need to be ready, and you need to be ready to ascend to that next level when you get with me, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Quick and slick. But what I do is I don't try to change people. I want to enhance you. I want to look at your logo. I want to look at your fonts. I want to look at your messaging. I want to look at it from a critical eye. And setting your mind. Setting your mind to the dial that works for you. It's like a radio. You know, remember the old transistor radios, how you had to fiddle with the dial till you got it just right for the music to come in?
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah. And you still get static. You got Sirius radio now, and you still get static. Tell me about mindset. What does that mean to you?
What is mindset?
This coffee show is good. What you got in your cup? I got coffee in my cup. What's coffee?
Oh, just H2O. Just
all right. Cheers. Cheers to us. Okay. Awesome. Now back to mindset.
Mindset to me is more so on how a person approaches things, how a person sees things. Mindset to me, more so, it's really on when we, since that we're creators, right? How our mindset is very important, because it really helps us to either create a better life and a better version for ourselves and for our family and those in which that, you know, that's around us, or wherever it pulls us down and makes us even worse. Here's the thing about mindset, and something in which that I experienced in my own life. And that's the reason why when I do my video marketing, when I speak with my clients, I speak with such conviction and passion, is because of the fact that no one can change your mindset. No one can help you unless you're ready, willing, and able.
That's right. That's right.
That is something that I remember in the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey, because when I came in, I had a sales and customer service and marketing background. You know, I was always in the top 5 or top, you know, 10 percentile as far as like with sales agents. So when I came in this industry, I was like, oh, this is a breeze. You know, this is nothing. You know, my ego and my pride was so high that literally, if you would have met me about 7 or 8 years ago, we wouldn't be having this conversation, because you would be like, okay, for the first 5 minutes, you know what? I don't have time for this gentleman. He's not ready yet. His mindset is still on, you know, he doesn't need any help. So when I work with individuals, and I make this very, very clear, I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to make you do something we say you don't want to do. However, you must be ready, willing, and able. You must be open to healthy feedback. That's another thing that I noticed too, especially nowadays. People are so hypersensitive
about everything.
About every single thing. I'm just
you
tell like,
somebody, you might need a handkerchief. You got a booger in your nose. What you doing looking up on my nose? What you know, what you doing all up in my business? You can't say nothing.
It is unreal. It's like
pathetic.
Wow.
It's pathetic. And you have to be open to feedback. You know, you should be glad that somebody's seen that booger in your nose and you're not on Facebook and you know.
The most
time, it's crazy.
The reason why I've grown the way I've been, how I've grown up to this point, is because of the fact I had individuals that were challenged. That wouldn't feed into my mess or my nonsense. And that's probably the reason why me and you, you know, we vibe along so well, because of the fact that you're quote unquote old school, and I'm so used to that. Mm-hmm. So I know, as far as it comes to my mindset, if I'm like, oh, you know, I don't think I can do this, I don't do that, instead, you will not allow me to dwell on that. You're going to say, okay, wait a minute, hold on. And you're going to challenge me in such a way that's not disrespectful, but also is going to allow for me to take a look at it and be like, okay, you say that you want this, correct? Yes, but no. You say that you want this. Okay, so how bad do you want it? That's the first question I want to ask. And secondly, what are you doing? What type of work are you putting in? To me, when I work with people, and this also in terms of the mindset, you have to be willing as far as to be challenged and also allow for yourself to grow. And allow for other people to pour into you and give you different ideas or suggestions and not take it personal. And wait, that's something that I've
also learned. Hang on one second. You got something on your lip.
I'm sorry.
No, what, you ain't got to be sorry, but see, that's what I'm saying. You know, you all into your vagina. What if I hadn't told you that?
That would have been very...
You would have come back and you said, now, April, now look, you was talking about the booger and the no, but you didn't tell me I had some on my lip. No, what you're saying is very, very valid, you know, because people tell me all the time, I might make a mistake.
Right.
I had this one client. She had an interview. She wasn't particularly happy with the interview because her music didn't go over the way that she wanted to. Now, she is a consummate professional musician.
Okay.
And I wanted it to be right.
Right.
But if you don't speak up, baby, I don't know. And you sitting over there all jawed up, mad and crunchy, not wanting to promote yourself, all you have to do is communicate to me. I'm the utmost when it comes to customer service. I want you to be happy.
Absolutely.
And if you're not happy, I'm gonna do whatever I can to make you happy. I have a can-do attitude. And that's what we must have, is a can-do attitude. Because I already know what you can't do. That's why we're having this conversation.
Right.
I want to know what you can do and how you can apply that. Now, check this out. Right. Let's go into a little bit about presenting and speaking.
Sure.
You know, a lot of men, and I say men more so than women, have speech impediments. They stutter. And a lot of boys. I don't know if they think faster than it comes out. I don't know if they're nervous. I don't know what it is. But they have such a challenge. And people, like our president, what's his name? I call him
Biden.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, okay. Yeah, God, with you. Yeah, Biden, I call him by their number. I don't even call him by their name. Okay, so President Biden, he had a huge speech impediment.
He did.
Yeah, what would you say to a person that, you know, is trying to break out of their shell, they're embarrassed by that, but they want to be a speaker. They want to tell their story.
Ooh, you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Practice. Practice each and every single day. Practice in front of a mirror. If you have to write out as far as on what you want to speak and convey, that's something I had to do as far as in the very beginning. I used to watch other speakers and see as far as on what they were speaking about, their voice inflection, their tonality. I literally became obsessed as far as with public speaking. Why? Because of the fact that's very important. And I highly recommend for any entrepreneur definitely to go ahead and master or get very, very comfortable as far as with public speaking. So for anyone that has a challenge, such as like a speech impediment, or as far as they get in front of camera and they feel they're like, or they're like this all over the place and they get a brain freeze, I would definitely just practice that. Do a video on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't record it, just a video. And just do that. And then take a look at your video and see as far as on what you did well. So you definitely want to commend yourself instead of just putting yourself down constantly. You want to commend, be like, oh, that was cool. I like how way I said that. Oh, I like how way I said that. I like the lighting. I like how way I said that. But then also give yourself enough room to say, okay, now where can I improve?
Right.
And then from there, you take that information, you improve, and then you do another one. And then you do another one. And then you do another one. And what's going to happen over the course of time, because you're practicing and you're doing it on a consistent basis, you have no choice but to get better, because that's when muscle memory takes over. It's just like as far as with athletes, from basketball players, football players, whatever, right? Practice makes progress. I don't believe in practice makes perfect. Practice makes progress.
I know, because when you said muscle memory, I'm thinking of my guitar. And let me tell you, it ain't no joke, you know. And I took up playing the guitar because I wanted to strengthen my mind. I
didn't want
to grow old. And, I thought it was kind of sexy and cool, like a serenade my man.
But, yeah, I mean, just like with that, and anything in which that you do, you want to be able as far as to do it constantly. And the only way that you're going to get better at it is just practicing. Even to this day, exactly. I still practice.
Right.
And I push myself to get better. I just don't, like, one of the things that when I started doing my Facebook Lives, guys, if you see my first Facebook Lives, I was super duper terrible. But I made a decision at that point, and I said, you know what? It doesn't matter if nobody watches it or 10,000 people watch it. Doesn't matter how scary it's going to be. I know as far as if I continue to put the work in and I get better, then guess what? I will get to the place where I want to be. And I'm still not there, even though I done did a lot of things like that.
The communication is going to change. It's ever evolving. So let's talk about another language. Let's talk about love language.
Okay.
The conversation of a man today. It's rough. Y'all been hit over the head with a club, okay? I feel like you're in a Flintstone movie. You know, a man trying to, you know, push up on a woman and tell her she's pretty or, you know, that she smells good. You can't even get that close now with the Me Too movement and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
Okay, that's one thing. Okay. And then the second thing is if you're in a relationship, the communication between, I can't say necessarily man and woman. I have to say partners now because, you know, it's a different time, a more liberal time. But with the person that you're with, what do you say are some of key elements in communication in a love language?
Some of the key things as far as what that, I like to let you know every day on how much I appreciate her and how much I love her because of the fact that, you know, with so much which is going on, I mean, we're absorbing so much stuff, obviously, and, you know, what's going on in this world that, for her to get that, you know, affirmation or to be reaffirmed on how I feel about her, it goes very, very well. I like to, as far as like get her certain little things like cards or like flower. Definitely as far as give her a hug, give her a kiss. Just the small things. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be tremendous, but just the small things just to let her know as far as on how I appreciate her. Now, There are certain men that may say, well, I ain't doing all that. You know, that's my wife. I'm going to get her for so long. And she knows on how the way I feel. No. Those days of thinking like that is over with. Because nowadays with so much which is going on, as I mentioned. So just as much as you're looking for a validation to be loved and be told, hey, honey, you're doing a great job. You know, I appreciate you going to work and busting your hump and paying the bills and keeping us afloat. Likewise, she wants to feel the same as well. So really putting a conscious effort as far as we're letting her know that communication is so important now because we're so pulled by everything
else. Wait. You talked all the soup and nuts. You all love it. But let me tell you, it's going to be hell that's going to break out sometime.
Yep.
And it's going to be ugly. Okay, so how do you resolve a conflict? You know, because it's great to tell somebody that you appreciate them and you love them, but when it ain't cool, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing that we do.
Okay.
I switch roles. I pretend that I'm him. And I really try to think from a man's perspective. Did he really mean to say that? I know he ain't crazy. You know, I really try to put myself in his predicament. Maybe he didn't think about that. Maybe he wasn't doing that. Maybe I didn't have an eagle eye on the situation and let something get out of hand. Okay. Maybe I'm assuming, you know? So, you know, how do you dial back? You know, there's a lot of times in situations and communications and marriages that silence is golden.
It is.
Just give yourself some time to just kind of shut it down, be quiet, process it, and then re-enter the situation.
I was going to say that too.
What do you do when all hell breaks loose?
Yeah, I was going to say that, like with me and my fiance, anytime like if we have like a big disagreement, for an example, what we'll do is like we'll just give, you know, each other space. And from there, like, we'll either give it, like, you know, by the end, by the end of the night or like the next day. And then when cooler heads prevail, we'll go ahead and talk about it.
Right.
Because with most, you know, problems or issues, however you want to frame it, when you're able to come back to it with a level head, then that's when more times, you know, you can come up with a solution, you know, or even at times like this. And what I'm about to say, for most brothers, it's not easy. For most men, it's not easy because we have so much pride and ego, right? But sometimes even saying, you know what, I was wrong.
Yeah.
I apologize.
And I'm sorry. I would tell you that's some good trickery too. Even if you wasn't, that'll get up off your butt.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it deflates it.
Yes, it does.
And I had a situation with a woman over here at the Walmart. And she was a particular kind of woman, Karen.
Okay.
And I had on, you know, rocking the Afro, had on my Black Lives Matter shirt. And she, and I don't know, everyone's life matters. And I don't know what's going on. And, you know, the police officer, blah, 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 and she's talking loud, right?
Okay.
And she's talking to me through the crowd.
Mm.
And I said, okay, now how am I going to process this? Because I've told myself, I'm not going to be an angry Black woman.
Right.
You know, I'm too smart for that. You ain't going to just drag me in on nothing. I turned around and I told her, I said, you know what? Every life is important. And I totally respect where you're coming from and I understand. I said, well, see, I'm driving a different car in a different lane. I said, and so you don't understand my struggle. You don't understand my people. You don't understand my challenge.
Right.
I said, so I'm not going to be combative to you because I know you talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to do is I want to support you. I want to educate you. I would even befriend you. She went from the 12th floor down to the basement.
Wow, look at that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I made a conscious choice on how I was going to process that. Now, when I got in the car, I cussed her in the womb she came from. But in her face, I was cool as a cucumber.
Right.
So I say that to say this, it's how you process. That's what communication is. It's not just talking. It's not just a bunch of words, but it's also it's a process.
Correct.
You know, it's a thinking process. It's a knowing process. It's a receiving process. It's a delivery. There's a whole lot to communication. And I just love you to death. I've been watching you just really flourish and you are doing an amazing job. Again, like I said, your tribe is on point.
Appreciate it, sister.
They really, really like you. They tune into you and you know, they value you. And that's huge. That's huge to have someone to cut out time to watch you, because that's what they're doing here on the Edge. So.
Absolutely.
Please, Sean White, tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to talk to you more, how to follow you, purchase your books, sign up for your courses. You know, how do they get into you?
Yeah. So even though I'm on many different social media handles, the one in which I most like to dominate, which that's pretty much my home, is on Facebook. So you can go ahead and look me up, Sean White. When you reach me, as far as you see, as far as my cover photo, it's actually of a lighthouse. If you are interested in more so getting those two books, Aligned for Your Greatness and From Broke to Greatness, it's available on Amazon Kindle. I'm available on Instagram, Mr_Politic35, LinkedIn, Sean White, same way. And let's see here. Besides that, and also if you want to connect with me, definitely please feel free as far as to send me a direct message. And also too, on my profile, if you go into about, my contact number is also there. So by all means, please feel free to reach out to me and we can have a free one-on-one coaching session. I would love to hear from you all.
Well, you know, again, if you got a coach that reciprocates and honors your space and is willing to listen to you, you got a winner right there. And we are here on the Edge. I need you to subscribe to every single thing I got, down to YouTube and LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. But I'm going to tell you, brains, I'm selective. Okay, I'm going to check you out. I ain't going to click on no crazy.
This is true.
You need to be in alignment with my brains. You need to be open to learn. You can show up and disagree, but you can't show up and be disagreeable because you will get unfriended. immediately. But I love you, and thank you so much, Sean, for taking time on this day. This show has been so therapeutic for me and helping me get through just with great conversations with people like you.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll talk to you again, my brother, real soon.
Come on back. Absolutely. Thank you so much.